I'd like to start a new sermon series with you guys today, and we kind of talked about David for a few weeks, and I want to talk to you about another character in the Old Testament. I want to talk about Jonah, and a lot of times when you hear about Jonah, you're like, okay, it's super simple, simple concepts, but there's some really powerful principles we can pull out of Jonah's life that I believe we can apply to our lives today. Learn from him and learn from when God speaks to us. So I'm going to look at the first part of Jonah's journey, I guess you would say. So Jonah chapter 1. And I want to just speak for a little bit about that and kind of go through his life in the next couple of weeks. Today's message, the title is, God's plans are wrecking mine. When God's plans are wrecking your own plans. As Christians, we want to hear from God. One of the reasons we go to church, one of the reasons we pray, we want to know God's will for our lives. We want to hear his direction for our lives. We want to hear from God. We want him to give us in our hearts, our spirits, a direction, say yes or no, tell us what to do in some ways to, you know, follow his path and to run our race and to do the right thing. But the warning I want to talk to you is, what happens when God asks you to do something that you do not want to do? Because there are times where God will speak to us, speak to our spirits, and ask us to do something that we don't really want to do. And that's what we're going to learn from Jonah, is that God asked him to do something that he didn't want to do. And what happens when we don't follow through on what God tells us to do? Because we all, in our hearts, want to hear from God. We want to know the direction God has for us. We want to know the path he has for us in our life. But what happens when we don't want to do what he says we should do? And so we're going to look at that today and hopefully apply it to our lives. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says this, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." The word of the Lord came to Jonah. What we all hope for, what we all want to do in our lives, what we all want. I want the word of the Lord to come to me. I wish it was so simple that God would just send me a telegram, email, message, text message that he's speaking in my heart and my dreams. I don't care how he speaks to me, but I wish that it was so simple, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not, that God would speak to me. The word of the Lord would come to me. I think most of us are here this morning. We wish and hope that God speaks to us. But we hear this story starts out that the word of God, which is important to know, this wasn't a feeling, this wasn't a maybe I should do it or shouldn't do it, but God powerfully spoke to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So God's done with the wickedness of Nineveh, and he's going to send his prophet Jonah to preach against it. We see this in the Old Testament all the time with the prophets of the Lord, that until Jesus came and entered into people's hearts, that God governed with prophets, with a mouthpiece of God, chosen men that would speak the word of God to a nation, to a city, to whoever they sent him to. This is a prophet of God. Says Jonah, Jonah's called, he has a close relationship with the Lord, "Go to Nineveh because their wickedness has reached me, that I'm done with it. I want you to preach, I want you to go, and I want you to preach to them." Now, a lot of times in the story, we'd hear like something like, Nineveh did horrible things, so Jonah, God's prophet, went down to them, and he preached, and the whole city was saved, the end. But that is absolutely not what Jonah did. That Jonah did, honestly, what some of us do when God calls to us. He did the opposite. Verse 3 says, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Now, he went, if you look at a map of that time, he went as far as he possibly could from Nineveh. Nineveh was about 550 miles to his east, and Tarshish was 2,500 miles to his west. So he really picked the map, the modern-day map they had there, and he chose the opposite direction as far as he could go, 2,500 miles to the west when he was supposed to be going 550 miles to the east. He gets on this ship, and he runs and flees from God. And we can judge Jonah. I've read this before, I've thought about the scripture before, and I'm like, how could, when God speaks to you, and you're a prophet, it's not like the first time you ever, you know, felt the presence of God or felt God speaking to you. He speaks to you and you're like, nope, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Easy to judge, easy to think, I wouldn't do that. But I think sometimes in our lives we might do that, and we're going to look at that. And the truth is when I read this scripture that he gets on board, and I think it's interesting how the devil always provides a direction when you want to run from God. He wanted to run from God, and the devil happened to provide a ship going the opposite direction as far as the maps they held could go. That when you want to run from God, the devil will always give you a ride. You always find a boat sailing in the opposite direction of what God wants you to do. Because he doesn't want you to follow God. I think if you really want to know if the devil exists, then turn away from God and see how quickly he will give you a ride. That he'll show you how to get there. Because he absolutely does not want you to go the direction God has called us to. Now, why did Jonah so terribly not want to go to Nineveh? I do not believe it was because he was scared. I do not believe it was because he didn't feel his abilities to preach were adequate. I believe that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was a Jewish Hebrew from Israel, and the people who inhabited Nineveh were, their capital was Assyria. That they were the Assyrians, and there was like the difference between, you know, if you've ever watched Star Wars, it's different between the Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. That there was the opposites in the Syrians against the Israelites. They were at war. The Syrians were horrible people, barbaric people who overthrew empires and did cruel, horrible things. And I believe, even though when you hear that group of people, you think, wow, he must have been scared. I believe he was scared, and scripture supports it. He was scared because he didn't want God's grace and glory for those horrible people. Jonah thought, if I go down there and I preach the word, God's going to forgive them, and they're going to, you know, reap the benefits of being forgiven and blessed by God, and these people don't deserve it. He rejected God's offer to go because he didn't want God's grace and love to reach a horrible group of people that he didn't think was worth it. And I think in our culture, we can see, you know, Ninevites all the time. They're like, why do we bother to help them? They're not worth it. Like, why ruin our good name? Why, like, take our resources and throw it to those people? Because, you know, they're just Ninevites. They're just bad people. Why do we want God's blessing on those bad people? Jonah knew God's character. Jonah knew that God would forgive his enemies. Jonah knew that God would bless them when Jonah didn't believe they deserved to be blessed. This is what I would call rationalizing your sin. That he rationalized the sin, that he thought, yes, it's wrong for me to disobey God, but here are the reasons why it should be okay. And I do that. I think all of us do that. When it comes to the sin that we know in our life, we usually aren't blatant like, nope, not going to follow God. It's we rationalize it like he did. Well, here's why I deserve this, or here's why I shouldn't have to do that. Rationalizing sin is when our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. How often has your mind made an excuse for what your spirit knows is wrong? God asks you to forgive someone or serve someone or give to someone, and you just don't feel like it because it's not the right time, it's not the best, they don't deserve it, why would I open myself up to that? Where it's easy to rationalize. We're good at it. We're good at rationalizing. Why now? I'll do it later. I believe that spiritual maturity can be seen in the time distance between God commands you to do something into when you're obedient. The real spiritual maturity is when you hear from God and you don't take a long time to follow through on God. Spiritual maturity is you hear from God and you're like, okay. Even if you don't like it, even if you don't agree with it, even if it hurts a little bit, real spiritual maturity, when I've seen in professors and Christians and pastors and people who are spiritual, not all pastors or professors are, but sometimes, is when God speaks to them and they don't let a long length of time go between their obedience. I'm good at when God speaks to me, especially in my younger pastor years. I knew that was the right thing to do. Good at thinking about it for a while. Like weighing the consequences. If I do this, is it going to burn people in my church? Are they going to leave? If I preach this sermon and, you know, there's people who don't like it, even though I know it's the right thing, I know it's biblical, are they going to be like, get up and leave, or say I'm a bad pastor? Like I'm good at rationalizing, thinking through things, but I think spiritual maturity is saying, nope, God said it. I'm going to do it. Spiritual maturity is following through with a short distance of time when God speaks to you. That is not what Jonah was doing. The word came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah ran from the Lord. And as soon as he starts running from the Lord, his life starts to go downhill. And I hope this is where we can learn how to avoid the pitfall that Jonah finds himself into. I'm going to read to you from verse 4. It says, he's in a boat going to the furthest place he can find from Nineveh. It says this, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. So the world's ending, and the sailors, they all pray to their own gods. These are a mixed group of pagan people, and they're like, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. They threw their goods overboard, and they're trying the best they could keep the ship from breaking up. And what's Jonah doing? He's sleeping. I think sometimes when we run from God, we don't know how close we are to being shipwrecked. We don't know how close, how dangerous our life is, how close we are to just to sinking. And we're just oblivious. He was oblivious to how far he was running from God, oblivious to what was happening around him because he was disobeying God and God was trying to get his attention. Notice the sailors didn't do anything wrong. Jonah's sin at not obeying God caused others to suffer. And we know that's true. So many times we've made mistakes in our lives and we thought, it's just me that I made the mistake for. It's just me. But who does it affect? All the people that you love that's around you. And Jonah thought, it's just me. I'm going to run from this calling. These people don't deserve it. And now people around him are getting hurt. People around him potentially are dying because of what Jonah did. And it's powerful to say that the sailors didn't cause the storm. But Jonah's life, it's going down regardless. It's going down because he didn't obey. He didn't follow through. And it's a scary place when you become comfortable disobeying God. In this case, God sent the storm. In this case, God sent the storm. Sometimes God sends storms to get our attention. Sometimes God allows storms to get our attention. Sometimes we bring storms upon ourselves because there's consequences to disobedience. I've had so many people in my walk with ministry who blame everything on the devil. And I think the devil is responsible for a lot, but I think sometimes we're responsible for the storms in our life. I think sometimes we are the reason that it wasn't the devil that created that in your life. It was disobedience from God. It was choosing to run away that created that. I used to do a lot of counseling in our church, and I remember so clearly, I'm 23 years old, just young, fresh out of college, and this person comes to me, older lady, and she wants prayer. And so I meet with her, and she said that the devil has been attacking her financially. And so I'm like, okay, well, what's happening? What's happening? She's like, I just lost my third job. She was like, I've been there for about 6 months, and I just lost my third job. The devil is trying to destroy me financially. And so I said, well, why did they fire you? Why did you quit? And she's like, they fired me because I wasn't showing up to work on time. And I'm like, how often? She's like, well, you know, it's a long drive, and I got to feed my cats and a bunch of excuses. And I wasn't showing up and working on. I'm like, what about the other jobs that you let go of? She's like, mostly the same thing. Like, I struggle showing up to work on time. And so I'm like, the devil didn't get you fired. That was you. And we didn't go over real well, but it was the truth. That you created that storm in your life. You have to show up at work on time. It's unfortunate. I wish we didn't have to, but we do. And that's just part of life. And when you're disobedient to that principle of life, there's consequences. Employers don't like that and said that you created that storm. And God's maybe allowed it. Maybe he didn't, you know, miraculously intervene and have them never notice. But that's for you to grow. That's for you to grow in life and grow spiritually. I had another person talk to me about, came and said, another financial issue. They said, I'm really struggling. Would the church be able to pay this $2,500 bill? And we as a church, and I know this church does too, we try to help out if we can. But I want to dig into, like, why is your finances, how did this bill come apart? And it was their electrical bill. $2,500 is a lot. This was 15 years ago too. And I said, how long has it been? They haven't paid it for 6 months or a long time. And so I kind of dug into it, and they said, you know, what's going on with your finances? And they had come to find out this couple had taken 3 vacations that year and put it on their credit card. And they had bought a new car, and they redecorated their house. And I said, this isn't the devil attacking your finances. This is a budgeting issue. Like, you can't spend more money than you make. If you do it for a long time, then your credit cards get maxed out and you aren't paying your electricity bill. This is a budgeting issue. This isn't God trying to shoot you with lasers or the devil trying to get you to stumble. This is your own storm you created. You have to spend less money than you make. It's as simple as that. And we had actually started a financial peace class, and this couple attended it. And years later, this couple led a financial peace class for us. So sometimes we create storms. Sometimes God sends them. Sometimes God allows them. But he allows them, hopefully, to get our attention so that we have a nice warning wake-up call and we realize that disobedience, that not adhering to a principle of truth, costs us, hurts us. And this is what Jonah is finding out. Let me read to you verse 8. So they asked him, Jonah, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? Jonah answered in verse 9, I am a Hebrew, listen to this, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. You notice he didn't say, I obey. He said, I worship. Not that I follow through, not that I listen to, like, I worship the Lord of all creation. But the problem is not that he doesn't worship him or believe him or know him. The problem is, the reason he's in this storm, the reason people around him are in danger, is because he doesn't obey him. He's not listening. He says, I'm Hebrew, I worship the Lord, and I'm not necessarily obeying him, but I'm worshiping the Lord. I think this is one of the issues with, especially, I can't speak for our modern day churches. And maybe this has been an issue since Jesus' time, but I know for our modern day churches, one of our biggest issues, we claim to love God, but we don't obey God. And there's a big difference. We claim to love God, and that's important. That's incredibly important. But I think that it should be partnered with love, and the Bible says this. True love should be an action, that I love God so that I am going to obey God. I love that and respect God, so I will follow through on his promises. I will follow through on what he asks of me. That we have to have those partnered together, love and obedience. Let me keep reading verse 11. The seas the sea was getting stronger and rougher. So they asked Jonah, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Listen to this in verse 12. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied. Then it will become calm. I know this is my fault that this great storm has come upon us. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. What a powerful verse. That doesn't sound like a man who's scared. That doesn't sound like a man who was too scared to go to Nineveh. It sounds like a man who understands and believes God, and a man who's come to his end. He can't do anything, he's stuck, there's nothing he can do. He realizes that he started this. He says, pick me up, throw me into the sea. What faith? I don't know if he believed God would save him. I'm not sure. Probably he didn't. He thought, this is my end. Pick me up. Throw me into the sea. This is my fault. Not because he didn't believe, not because he didn't love God, but because he didn't obey God. And because of this disobedience, that Nineveh wasn't getting the word, and he created storms in his life that had brought him to a very disastrous place. It's heartbreaking. God chose Jonah. God called Jonah, and Jonah ran from God because Jonah thought running would be better. Running from God would be better than the Ninevites getting what they didn't deserve. God's grace and God's love. I believe there are people here today who God chose you, God called you, but you're running from God and now you're stuck in a storm. There's someone here today that they can identify with that. Or maybe most of us could identify with that in some part of our life, in some of our life history, is that we ran from God. I know I can. And now you're, and at one time, or maybe presently, you're caught in a storm. What do? The men try to get to safety in this boat. Storm gets worse. So in verse 15, it says, they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So it's pretty powerful that these men, they're pagans, praying to all different gods. When they see this Hebrew God calm the storm as soon as they did as he asked, as Jonah told them to do, they all sacrificed to that Lord and started to make vows, made promises, became followers of this God, essentially, because they saw the power of Yahweh, the Hebrew God. And I think this, any God who can do this is a God we need to know and worship. Any God that can still the storm is a God we need to know and worship. And if you don't know who the true God is, he's our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. He gives us strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. He delivers you and I from all fears. He heals the brokenhearted and binds our wounds. He meets your needs according to the glorious riches in Jesus Christ. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God comes to bring life and life to its fullest. The Bible says, when you seek him, you will find him. He is a good God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. A God like that is a God we want to know, a God we want to worship, a God we want to fear, and a God we want to obey. So Jonah finds himself overboard, appearing that his life is coming to an end. Why? Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah ran from God. My challenge with this, the principle I want to pull out as we close, is where in your life have you or are you rationalizing sin and running from God? And it may seem small and simple, it may seem big, but all of us rationalize sin sometimes. All of us go through times in our life where we're just like, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It's cultural. It's normal. But wherever your life, you're rationalizing sin, I would challenge you to stop running from God in that area, to turn it over to him. And maybe you don't think you're rationalizing sin, and then I might challenge you and say, where in your life is there a storm? Where in your life where you feel like you're sinking? And sometimes that's you rationalizing sin, or maybe it's someone around you rationalizing sin, creating a storm, as we see with Jonah. But where in your life is there a storm? That's a good place to stop and start and look and say, where's God trying to get my attention? Because I want to not just love him, not just know him, but I want to obey him. And I hope that we can all learn from Jonah and not find ourselves treading water in the ocean before we get to the point where we're like, okay, God, you're right. I'm sorry. Let me turn back. Let me stop. Let me start anew. Let me follow you, whichever direction you lead. If you stray away from God, you can always turn back. It's never too late. Let us know him and love him. Let us give him the sovereignty, the lordship over all areas of our life. Let us stop running and turn to him. A God who is this good is a God we should know, worship, fear, and obey. Let us learn from Jonah. Amen? Amen. We'll pick up the story next week, right after this, and see what God has in store for Jonah and how we can learn more principles to apply to our life. But I hope and challenge all of us, stop rationalizing sin. We all do it. We've all done it. We've all experienced the storms it creates. And even if God sends us or speaks to us or tells us to do something that we're like, I don't really want to do it, don't wait. Don't push it off. Don't run from it. But say, Lord, you are God. You're God of all creation. Who am I to say no to you? And let's be obedient and see what God can do in our lives. Amen? Amen. Please stand with me. And I know there's a quick business meeting after this, and I will close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Old Testament story about Jonah. And Lord, how many powerful principles we can learn to apply to our own life from his life. Lord, we look at his life, it's easy to think, what was he thinking? But Lord, when we stop and look at our lives, we can understand, I've done it before. And Lord, help us to avoid those storms by not just loving you or knowing you, but listening to you, obeying you. Lord, I pray you will help us to avoid storms and to live a productive, full life, a life that is pleasing to you, Lord, and a benefit to all those who know us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.